Welcome to The Authentic Life of KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing, and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Dive to the soundtrack of your soul. Every beat and lyric will move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL.
Hey guys, it's Kitty. I have with me Chris Taylor Brown, the singer from Trapped. How are you?
I'm great. Very good.
Good, good. Thanks for joining me. I'm going to just jump right into some of the questions. I tend to focus a lot on mental health and how music really supports people through whether you're an artist writing music or listening. What inspires you to keep going? I know that everything's madness right now in the industry and in the world. What inspires you to keep going?
As far as doing, you know, what we do for a living, which is music, it's the people who care about it, you know, the fans who just inspire you to keep playing shows and making new music because they care about it, you know. I mean, that's if your fans stop caring, then you're gonna have to do something else, you know.
No, that's true. As long as they show up, there's something for you to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the music industry has changed significantly since you started. A lot.
Yeah, the internet.
How's that impacted you since you've kind of gone all across the board with it? How has that, how have you been able to navigate that?
I think that it's you can take your destiny into your own hands much more than you could in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why you're seeing people who just have an idea of how they want to get their music out to people. They can nail it on their own. They don't need a label. They can do it themselves, like really every aspect of it. And so, I mean, any artist has to get good at that.
Yeah.
Just like doing social media, you know? And a lot of artists are like, I just want to be an artist. And I totally get that.
Right.
But it's not the world we live in.
I ran across you on social media just when you started doing more lives. I think on TikTok is where I saw you, and I see you doing lives. Has that been a significant change from you doing it, say, just on, say, a live versus being in person as much? I know you're touring and stuff, but.
Oh, I think that the online stuff, like, just makes people more excited to see you in person. So,
yeah,
like, anybody who likes what you're doing online would rather see you in person, you know. That's just my experience. So with Trapped's experience, and so that's what we do. We just to create awareness. But the real reason I do those lives is so I can perform the best I can when we do the real shows, you know. And it's just so hard for me to sit down on a couch and just practice.
Yeah.
So being able to do something that's kind of live, you know, not in person, but it's still live, it really helps me as an artist for sure. But it's mostly to create awareness around the things you're doing in person.
Yeah, yeah. And then you also inadvertently gain new people that are watching you that run across as well. Because I've really enjoyed the shows that are on there, just kind of scrolling through. So I want to go back, of course, to Headstrong, right? I want to go back to that before we dive into the new album. It kind of became an anthem for resilience, and everybody that I know tends to have a story in time that they're like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what I was doing in that song. This
nice.
Did you expect that to take on that, I guess, anthem type feeling for people, to for them to connect so much to it?
I mean, we felt like it was a good song, like, since, you know, right when we wrote it. But we thought Echo was, like, the whole label and the band thought Echo was going to be the big song, but then Headstrong ended up being the biggest song from the album. So you just never know. You never know exactly how the public's going to take to something, but we knew it was going to be a good song and it was going to do something. But we didn't know it was going to be the song it was. Or it is.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Even my son was like, oh my gosh, I remember being in high school and I remember this happening this exact moment in time. And I like to talk about music being those mile markers for us. We use them at funerals and we use them at birthdays and we use them at weddings and we use them all these things, but they do just paint this picture for us in our life in the background of it.
Definitely.
How has your songwriting changed over the years from when you first started?
Just I being better at what you do, playing guitar, being able to sing over whatever you're coming up with goes a long way. And just having more control over what you're doing. And so I think that's the biggest difference between the beginning and now. It's just like things that I have in my head, I can just get it out to the rest of the band or to fans so much easier than was ever done before. It's like just all the tools you got available. You can go from like writing a song on an acoustic guitar and you love that, and then making that into something completely different in hours. So it's just really cool. Like, because to me, like, music's just like what's in your head, and you just trying to get it out so you can communicate it to people. And like the way you can just take an idea in your head and make that into something that people really think is great, that don't have it in their head, they're just hearing what you came up with. It's amazing how quickly you can go from an idea to a real song at this point.
Yeah,
And
you have
that's cool.
a real knack for writing and with your lyrics. I have a friend in the music industry and he was like, oh, he is the best songwriter. He was like, he paints those pictures. He was like, he paints those pictures. And I think I'm a lyric person, so I appreciate lyrics more so than just the music, because being able to connect with a story or some sort of part of your life with it is impactful for so many people.
There's a
I
lot
mean,
of music where you can't hear what they're saying. You have to like look up the lyrics. And I think like when we write music, we try to make it so that like anyone who listens for the first time can hear what's being said. And we try to, at least, it's hard to get it. You have to have like a really simple song for every lyric to, be heard. Like Bob Marley, you hear every lyric on that, But it's a simpler type of music for sure. So like the more that's going on, the harder it is to like just get that idea across of what you're trying to say. So we just really try to, at least try to get that point across in the first listen.
Yeah, no, I think you do a great job. I think that there's a time and place for the screaming music, but then for the most part, it's like when I and a lot of people connect, it's those lyrics and those are the parts that are absolutely unforgettable. So, do you write with a specific message in mind when you're writing songs? I know you said it kind of came from you have an idea in your head. Does it come from personal experience? Does it come from you having a great imagination and story writing skills?
Yeah, there's usually like something I'm just thinking about a lot, and it'll just end up coming out in some hook or something. Like it's always usually like music, and music makes me feel something, and then I'll try to capture that feeling with words. And so the first line of a song always is like just pops out by accident, and then from there you're like, oh, that's cool. And then you're like, that's an idea, and then like you make up a whole song about it, So that's what I'm always looking for, is like that first like lyric that pops out of my mouth from hearing a piece of music. And then from there you can build whatever song you want, but it's that first line that is what I'm looking for, So it's just
That's really
whatever piece of
interesting.
music inspires that.
Do you remember, this is just random, do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
Yeah, I do remember it. Trying to figure out what the song was called, but I
I
totally
just
remember writing it and the whole thing. Yeah, I can't think of the title of the song right now, but I
I always wonder
definitely.
if that's something you just don't forget when you finally write a song and you're like, I did it.
I totally remember it. It was like there was like rapping in the verses and like chorus part. Yeah, it was like back in like the 96 or 97, when like there's a lot of rap rock going on.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. Looking back on your career, is there a moment in time that for you was a turning point for you as a person or as the band that you knew it was different?
Just just that Headstrong like becoming a hit song, it was, that's like, if you get one of those songs, like you as a band, and let me, obviously if you have to like follow it up with good songs too, you can't just have the one song,
Right.
but that's what gets people into your band, and then they follow your band, and you put out records, and they like songs from records you put out, but that's that first song that really gets your name out there. And as long as you're a good band, you write good songs, like you will have a fan base. But there's a lot of bands that have good songs and they're a great band, they just didn't never have that song,
Yeah.
and they nobody knows who they are because they just never had that promotion. So we're just very fortunate that we had that song to do what it did and still does,
Yeah. Do you think it's easier nowadays to have one of those songs to do that now with social media and things like that versus how it was back then?
I think it's easier to get one of those songs noticed, but it's also what do you have to give away
Yeah.
to you can't do it on your own. You need to
Yeah.
have like the team, the labels, or like
Yeah.
the people who do that for a living. Like you can't, they're everyone's spending so much money trying to get their songs and noticed that you're competing with all these bigger companies. And you may have a song that's way better than all these companies and the bands that these companies have signed, but they've got all the money.
Yeah.
So that's what you're fighting against. So a lot of times the best songs don't get heard,
Yeah, the
unfortunately.
genuine songs and all that kind of fall by
Yeah,
the wayside.
but if it's a great song, I think it finds its way to the surface, it bubbles up. But and then there's always someone trying to they see that it's bubbling up, and they're like throwing money at that, and they're always trying to get it.
Let me
Yeah.
help you. Let me help
Yeah.
you.
As long as we own
Yeah.
it.
Are you a label now or are you
No,
self
we've been independent since
independent?
2012.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see a lot of bands doing that. I understand why, but I
Yeah.
do.
We did four albums with two labels, and then four albums just our own, on our own at
Nice,
this
nice.
point.
What do you think is the most misunderstood thing about you?
I've been v very vocal with like the things that I think are wrong, or when I see people lying about this or that, so anytime I've been able to say something about that, I will. And I think a lot of people think that like just because you're playing back and forth with people insulting you and you insult them back, that you're a bad guy. But it's like I like to have fun with people. Like if I have a friend, like my friends that I've grown up with, or just I've met over the years, have to be people that can take a joke, And so I think this, the world that we live in, this self-righteousness, just keeps people from being able to take jokes and to being able to be a joking person. And hopefully that changes at some point. But I think I'm a lot less serious than people think I am. I
You're a
guess
lot
that's
less serious.
point I'm trying to make here.
Or you're the class clown sometimes.
I basically have been my whole life.
I love that. I love that. I would love to talk a little bit about your new album if you want to kind of walk us through it. I have enjoyed it very much. So do you want to talk about that?
We write records every 3 to 4 years. It usually takes a year or two of living to get some songs going, and then a year and a half, 2 years into writing music, you start kind of coming up with an album, and then you got to record it. So yeah, like every 3 or 4 years. But we're writing, we always write songs, we're always writing, so we're never like we're just touring at this time, and then we're going to be writing at this time. There's always writing music going on. But like I said, like once you have an album's worth of material, then you're like, okay, let's see if we can put an album together. And that's usually like a year-long process. And we just started putting out songs before their actual record was done. We were just trying to put out a song a month, but we had the maybe half to three quarters of it done. So while we were putting songs out, we were finishing the album and all that. But I think just like going through the stuff that I went through personally, just putting my voice out there, you get attacked. Just going out there and just saying what I felt I wanted to say on social media. Like, I never say this stuff when we're doing live shows. We're just trying to entertain the audience. So I figured if you're going to say something, do it on social media, you know. But, I just felt like I just saw too many people in our music, in the music industry, just towing whatever line that the mainstream media was throwing out there. And so I just thought that was very un-rock and roll. And I just tried to do the opposite of that. And and that was a learning experience. And it was going against against the grain like that. I
Right.
mean, that's why they call it going against the grain. It's like it's so easy for people to be herded into different echo chambers, really, is what you have to call it. And if anyone challenges their beliefs, they get mad, they go crazy, and so I just think for me as a person, I figured out that it's probably better to just hold your tongue and just do what you do musically, and that's what we did on for the last couple of years. 2020, we made this album Shadow Work, and then we put it out, and part of that putting the album out, we couldn't tour, so was me just getting on social media, right, and just doing that. And so the last time we didn't do that at all, obviously. But it was definitely a learning experience as to how the public would, and it's not the public, it's how they're led into different like shoots, different silos. And so this and it's social media. It's like I don't know if it's on purpose, or if it's just
Everybody's so easily influenced to absolute, sides of different things,
but
and
they're pulled into groups, which is, it just seems very like engineered. It's not like I don't, it doesn't seem organic. And so, but I think the human need to belong to something, to belong to a family or a community, is exploited by social media. And so that I definitely understand now. I didn't really get it 4 or 5 years ago, but definitely understand that now. But yeah, all those songs, I was just going through, put yourself out there, and then getting ripped for it, and by the media. I mean, if I'm going to go and say the opposite of what most of the mainstream media was saying, yeah, you're going to get beat up by the mainstream media. So, but yeah, it was a crazy experience for sure.
That album's called The Fall, right?
Yeah,
This
the
last
fall.
one.
Yeah, and I just feel like the reason we called it the fall is just like it just seemed like the way that everybody was going about their tribalness was gonna lead to a fall of some sort. So
Yeah,
that's
no, I.
what I thought was gonna be was what that all that was gonna lead to.
Yeah, do you have my favorite songs on the album are Drop Your Guard and My Devices. Though I love both of those. Do you have one that means more to you than the others?
Not really. We always we don't even like make a song like if it's not something worth finishing, so you get an idea of like what a song's gonna be with like a verse and a chorus. So to finish the song, if you don't really love the verse and chorus, like there's no point in doing that. You just leave it at where it
No
was.
filler songs. So you take,
Don't just make a song just to get another song on the album. So we do, lots of ideas. Like we do dozens of ideas, but it's like, a dozen or so songs make the album, at the end of the day. So
I was showing, I have a friend that helps me with the podcast and different things, and I showed her the My Devices, and she was like, "That is going to my playlist." She
right
was like,
on.
"I like it." So no, they're
Yeah.
like I say beautifully written. Some of them aren't so like beautiful experiences, right? But it is such a it's something that everybody can connect to as humans, you know, those kind of things that you're writing about. So
It's that inner world where there's like an outer world where you're just with people, and then there's the world where you're just by yourself. And they're two different worlds for sure. And
they
they're
are.
equally as important to you.
Yeah, and the goal is really, I think if we wanted to become like our best version, it would merge both of them, but it's so hard, right, to bring like the, I say the darker and then everything that is all together.
Yeah,
It's really
well,
difficult.
it's I think that the best mixture is a is kind of like a 50-50 of both worlds. I think if you're only going out there trying to get the approval of everyone and not even able to be alone, I mean, we all know people like that, and then we also know people who are like, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm just going to sit in my apartment or my house by myself. And I'm fine. I don't need people, and that's not true. You're just saying that. You're trying to be tough, which is fine. But it's a mixture. Being able to do both, and like both. Like I want to be around people, but now tonight I want to sit and by myself and work on poetry or work on art or just watch a show by myself. Like being able to be by yourself is I think makes the experiences you have with other people that much more rich, if you could do both.
I think so too. I think so too. And I think the world has made it so scary for people to become vulnerable, because it's like, oh, well, especially social media, and if you're in the light at all, it's terrifying to become vulnerable because typically someone will find you and use it against you for some reason or whatever. So I think vulnerability is a really beautiful thing, but I think that it is taken advantage of so much.
Oh yeah. Always is. And it's yeah, there's plenty of people just looking for someone to admit that they're wrong so they can pounce on them. So,
Or
and like people go,
take
why
everything
don't why
off of
doesn't
them.
yeah why doesn't anyone admit when they're wrong? It's because they get beat up for
Right? Or
it.
they like to push off everything on someone else being wrong so no one's looking at them, which
Of
I
course.
get, but it's so much
Yeah.
easier to point out your faults instead of your own. So,
Definitely.
yeah. So, the last couple questions here. If you could go back and give your younger self advice, what would that be?
Oh man. I would say don't go down the rabbit holes. Just stay where you are and live your best life.
Live your best life.
Yeah.
So, what do you have coming up? I saw you have an acoustic tour
Yeah,
that you're doing.
we did the first 16 shows. We got another 16, and we're doing that. We do like 2 and a half weeks on these acoustic tours, then take 3 weeks off. So nothing's ever too long, away from family and the life we have at home,
Yeah, that's a
So
good 50-50. Like you talked about, it's a good mix there.
So that's what we try to do, live life and with our significant others and our families and our friends and all that, and then also go out there and hang out with the fans,
Yeah, that's great. Do you have or where or how can fans come and support you other than showing up at a show? What can they do to support you and where can they find your music?
Just trap.com, TRAPT.com. That's got all the socials that we use. And all the new music stuff that we're doing, and then all the tour dates that we've got, it's
Perfect.
pretty up to date,
All right. And I'll post that here for anybody that's wanting it on the podcast. I always like to end the podcast with this question. If someone that you love or care about is struggling in with mental health or with depression or anything like that, what is some advice that you might leave them with?
Try to figure out the root of why you're feeling the way you're feeling. I mean, that's the biggest problem with human beings is, their body's dealing with things that they'd have to deal with without before their minds could make any sense of things. So, like the stuff that happened to you as a kid, and everybody has a somewhat traumatic childhood, even if it was a perfect childhood. So, it's like when you have a tantrum as an adult, that's you regressing into
I am so excited
being a
that you're
toddler.
speaking this language.
Yeah. So, you got to understand, like, anytime life gets tough, and you want to throw your hands up, that's
Yeah.
you being a 3-year-old. And so you have to understand, like, what just triggered you to be that 3-year-old. That's the biggest. It's like looking at your past from 30,000 feet versus like being in the thick of it. And I think being in the thick of it is like you, that's when the temper tantrums start, or you want to, and you have to hide it from the world, which is just as bad. But yeah, being able to look at your life from 30,000 feet and understand, what you had to deal with, what kind of conflict you had to deal with as a child, and why you act the way you act as an adult, like being able to connect those two pieces,
Shadow
that's
work 101.
yeah.
Right there, shadow work. I teach
Yeah.
that. And so
Yeah,
you
I mean
said that,
that's
and I was like,
yeah, that's like 2018, 19, 20 was all about, or learning about, how my childhood maybe affected my, adult relationships, and I was really able to master that kind of thing. And now it's just about, like how can you help people, how can you help other people do the same thing? Hey, because it's such a taboo subject.
It is.
Everybody wants to talk about how their parents treated them or what they went through as a child. You just expect to just get over it, and
Yeah.
yeah.
When
But if you
there's an inner child and they're just wanting to be heard and acknowledged, and then yeah,
Yeah,
it's
but
crazy.
that's it's like if you can't go back that far, you just have to just suck it up and be a good cadet, and that sucks, for the person who is going through, getting triggered as if they're, three years old and not knowing why. And it's because, it's like any time you get too emotional, it's because of the childhood stuff. There's nothing else. That's you. It's just your body is being reminded of some of stuff through as a child that you don't remember.
Yeah, it's just like it's happening right that very moment. It just doesn't understand that you're safe and in a different area.
And a lot of times you have to ask your parents about it, like what happened, and
And isn't that is the
they don't
hardest.
want to talk about it either. They don't want to, like, if they did something that was probably not what they should have done, they don't want to talk about it.
No.
They'll want to spin it the way that they feel, but it makes them feel
Yeah.
better about it. So that's what's tough. It's like it's
Yeah.
real hard. Like going to therapy is just really about remembering what happened and looking at it from as an adult instead of looking at it as a child.
Yeah, because you feel it. You don't necessarily remember all the memories from a child, but you definitely feel that subconsciously. So
But a lot of people
it's,
just won't. They don't want to face it. I mean, they can do it if they did therapy, or they did the, there's like cognitive techniques and stuff that, these psychotherapists do on people. And nine times out of 10, the person is much less anxious after, after you go through that treatment.
Oh, it's wild to look at things differently, and I think with me, there's some of the things where I was like, aha, whoa, wait, what? And like you just kind of, I the journey within, I think, is the tallest mountain, is what I always say when I'm teaching. I was like, it's the tallest mountain, but once you get there and you start self-reflecting and understanding it, it's really interesting to see and sit back and watch, and like you said, watch your
Well,
life a little
it's like you
differently.
get two lives. You have the childhood life, which totally drives the entire adult life, whether the adult knows it or not. But you have a chance to, as an adult, like look over that childhood life as an adult for the first time, where you saw you lived it as a child, and then you put it away, and you went through, middle school and high school, and you just, and then you started living your life, not resolving any of the stuff you may have, that might have been traumatic as a child, and that's where all these, bad behaviors from adults come.
That's what I'm teaching, and I'm like, okay, you have a trigger, and you try to find out what caused your head to spin around and all those things, but ultimately in the end it always goes back to something in your childhood somewhere. It doesn't
Yeah,
even
like
have to
an
be
adult.
something purposeful. It does,
An
it
adult
can
should
be, but
never, yeah, an adult should never throw a temper tantrum.
right.
That shouldn't be happening, but adults do.
Yeah. I
Because
was
it
like, your
happens
inner
all the time.
child's laying in the, what does a toddler do when they're pissed off and don't get their way? They lay in the floor and scream. Your triggers and how you respond sometimes are exactly that.
Everybody has done it. Everyone has their trigger.
Yeah.
But it's just like,
Yeah.
you know, if that happens to you, then you have to look back at, you know,
Yeah.
why do I get triggered over those things?
Yeah.
And it's from childhood.
Yeah. No, it's so
But no,
interesting.
nobody wants to talk about that because everyone's embarrassed of it.
Yeah. I just got done. I do a book club with the people that are in my community, and the book that we just did is called "It Didn't Start With You," and it talks about generational trauma. And everybody's like, "No, don't make us read it again."
That's
But
and that's why there's the cycle and never gets healed
yeah.
because nobody even wants to admit
Yeah.
that there's a child in them that's
Yeah.
uncontrolled, that's separated from the person they are when they're walking about their day and you talking to our coworkers and just and not emotional. That's you when you're not emotional. And then something happens and real life happens, and like that's the real you, the child.
Yeah.
Emotion, that emotional core.
And then the adults, you know, or you get older if you have children, and then you don't want to look into, like, I literally raised my child from me being a child because I never went in and did the stuff that I needed to do. And
The
most parents.
average kid is parented by an unhealed inner
Yes.
child, no doubt. And that's at least the community says, well, we'll at least be able to, you know, make your, you know, make the adult in you into something,
Yeah.
you know, that knows right from wrong. I mean,
Yeah.
that's what community does. But yeah, like the person you are when you're emotional, that's who you really are. Like the
Yeah.
rest of it's just a construct from
Yeah.
your community and what they expect of you. Dad was good at being able to kind of be an asshole and then apologize.
Yeah.
My mom, not as good as that, you know,
Yeah.
but bless her heart, she's awesome. I love both my parents, but my dad was definitely not, didn't mind being vulnerable, you
Yeah.
know, like if I didn't see him or call him when I was in town, I was like, I could have, and I, you know, that would hurt his feelings. Like maybe I had some other stuff going on, whatever. He would just tell you, he'd tell me that,
Yeah.
you know, which is a lot of people just wouldn't want to even bring it up, you know. But
I
my
just tell
dad
you what's up.
unapologetically just, you know, so I think he had a pretty good upbringing, but he had like five other siblings, and he's probably like the most normal of the six, I would say.
Yeah. No,
So
it's and on that it's wild. I had or had four younger brothers, and we were all raised the exact same household and absolutely completely different, you know, and
yeah,
all the way
it's the
around.
nature
So
versus nurture thing.
it
It's
is, it is.
not just one or the other. It's really a
Yeah.
combination of the two.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well,
50-50 thing.
thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
I am very pleasantly surprised with that last part of the conversation. I really want to make an impact in this world with helping people just know they're not alone and just bringing forth.
People have to see the value in pushing to understand what happened growing up. Because it's like that first 5 years is so crucial to understanding why you are who you are. And people just try to figure out why they are who they are, but they won't go back there because they know the answer deep down.
Yeah, I
But
think it's so
they have to
rewarding.
knock that wall down between the adult and the child, but it's painful.
Yeah, it's
Really,
painful to let go of what you thought was actually,
well,
I it was who you are, you know, but you can let go of that thing. I think that I had a eye-opening experience because I was like, it was kind of hard to let go of that once I realized that I had an option here.
narcissists will not bridge those two, the adult and the child. And that's why they have the problems they have and the things they won't admit to. They won't, because the pain for them is too much. They can't admit the reality that, like, it's very delusional, you know, to not be able to just admit what's going to hurt because it's going to hurt. I mean, like, You can do that. You can like trick your mind into not feeling things just by not admitting it.
Yeah, and sometimes I think people like that are happier. I know they're not necessarily, but I think
Not the
there's,
people around them, they are maybe, but the people around them are dealing with someone who does not adhere to reality because reality hurts too much.
No, you're very right. You're very
And that's why
right.
they can paint pretty pictures because that's all they can do for themselves. They don't live in reality. They live in a narrative that they create, and then they have to fight for that reality or that narrative. And then the people who are normal, who fall victim to that narrative, the reality they find out at some point is not very nice.
That's why they get so angry when people try to take that away, because it's their own,
That's their mask, yeah.
it's their own reality.
But
So,
people they get attracted to that narrative that was created. It's not even real. But and then they have to go through a whole mind fuck, and go, what? Now, normal people raised by normal parents meet somebody who they fall victim to that narrative that this person's created, and they get gaslighted in a way that they're like they can't even go back to their normal lives.
It's true. It's true. No,
PTSD.
that's true. They make you question everything about yourself, even things that you, I thought that was real, but maybe it's not. Like it
Yeah,
gets wild.
but it's that you see that that's possible though. So it opens up. It should open up when you meet someone like that. You start looking at, how, am I doing that? Am I like hiding things, or am I, maybe I need to look at myself. Everyone has something to teach you.
It's true. It's true. And that's a great way to look at it too. So.
Yeah, and I think being humble is like the best thing you can do. Just like I'm not. I don't. No one does. Like owes me anything. I don't deserve anything, and so I won't get hurt if I don't get it, right? So I think like just being humble from starting from a position of like I'm humble. I don't need to be treated like any way, any given way or whatever. I'll treat others the way I want to be treated. Like simple golden rule,
And
and
it's
just
such a good rule because
yeah.
it really would work if
But
everybody would do
you
it.
have to be humble to live your life by that rule.
I've said before that someone else's healing, their healing is found within your pain. Someone else's gift is found within your pain, because without you going through it and being vulnerable, they may not have someone. So.
Being vulnerable is just another form of language that people who don't allow themselves to be vulnerable will never speak.
And it's something that you learn to do, because after you're hurt so much, you have to really sometimes make a decision to be vulnerable, but it's not
Yeah,
always that bad.
I think it's how you were raised. You have two parents who encouraged always to say, "Hey, I'm feeling this way. I don't care what you think about that. I'm gonna let you know." Like those are good parents. Not parents who are like, "Don't feel anything. That's embarrassing to me."
Shh, be quiet. Don't yell. Be quiet.
Yeah,
Shh, don't do that.
don't have fun. Don't play
Don't
on
do
that.
that either. No, don't do
Don't do
anything.
anything ever.
Go sit in
Yeah,
your room and be quiet.
don't take a risk ever. Don't do anything. So my parents were like, just I can't. We can't control you. So they didn't even try. So that was a good thing. Whereas my girl, like her mom was very strict, so she like feels like she like is trying to get out of that, get out of dealing with strict parenting, where I probably needed more strict parenting.
But that's usually the I say the storm, but it's usually what happens is there's some polar opposites there to where you can connect, and that
Yeah,
part kind
and
of
then you kind of
helps
like
heal it.
get the best from each other, I think. Yeah, and that's why the opposites would attract, because it's like two people who need something, and then they find it in someone else if they're willing to be vulnerable and open.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I guess
Absolutely.
that's that twin flame thing, right?
Yeah, it
Where
can be. Sometimes that's a
it
hot
can either
mess,
be a
but
disaster or the greatest thing,
that's right. That's right.
depending
But
on the
sometimes it's
maturity
both.
levels of the two people.
Sometimes it's both. But yeah, it can be that. So,
Right
well,
on. It's
all
a good
right. I
thing.
appreciate you so much. I will I look forward to talking with you again, maybe when you
Yeah.
do a different album. So, thank
Sure.
you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life of KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you
If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life of KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynne.com, KittyLynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.